Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a random start for you here on the 6 o'clock hour this Wednesday. I was like, is it Thursday yet? No, it's not Thursday because I will be in Plentywood for Thursday's show. And then you early risers, man, you're going to have some fun tomorrow. John Jackson, the Joker from X, will be in for the early morning hours of the show so I can get my gear all set up from Plentywood and start lining up our guests from the Farm Expo. So that'll be a great show coming up for you all morning long. We'll have John Jackson bringing the heat. Even if he brings the cold weather with him, he'll be bringing the heat for the early morning hours. And then we're going to have some great Montana grain growers guests, some pulse crop leaders in the pulse crop industry. So many local folks. It's going to be a great show coming up. Montana branded beef. We're going to have that conversation and much more coming up tomorrow. But today, random start for you. I just saw this Military Times story. I was doing my last minute show prep here all the way up until I threw the headset on. Here's the headline that I read. Almost 21,000 Department of Defense employees approved to resign amid workforce cuts. So there you go. The federal government and the Pentagon trimming down this $2 trillion deficit that Donald Trump inherited from Joe Biden. Not to mention, do we have a $36 trillion debt? But here's the other challenge. And many of you know this if you've been listening to this show or if you're a veteran. The bureaucracy at the Department of Defense is freaking insane. I mean, look at the way our troops were, you know, second-guessed, had their hands tied behind their back. And oftentimes by these bureaucrats back in Washington, D.C. or at the Pentagon right across the river, you know, many of whom never even served. And they work, you know, not even a 9-to-5 job, maybe like an 8-to-4 job. Or not even an 8 to, you know, not even a 9-to-5, but like maybe like 8:30 to 3:30, right? If they're even showing up at the office, you know what I'm saying? There's some great folks that work there, but there's also a whole pile of bureaucrats. And you drive through the parking lot, and you know, back in the day when Obama was running for president, you'd see all the Obama campaign bumper stickers, and they make more money than our troops. They do less work than our troops. And then they second guess and undermine our troops. And then they push all this woke DEI garbage. Anyway, so I just saw this headline and I just kind of had to, you know, I just kind of had to say, wow, man, all of these DOD employees that are now leaving their jobs, who's going to steal your PowerPoint slides and brief the same thing to their boss and then take credit for your PowerPoint slide? I mean, if there's not somebody there to double up on, triple up, quadruple up on the work you did, who's going to take credit for it? Who's gonna handcuff our troops if they shrink their ranks back at the Pentagon? You know what I'm saying? What was the other one I was thinking? Reflector belts. Who's going to issue all the reflector belts out there? Anyway, that's a little bit of veteran sarcasm for you, given all the BS and frustrations we saw over the last 20-plus years.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, high temperatures will range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the 20s, and then on Thursday, more cloud cover with some snow showers mixed with rain in Bozeman, with a few rain showers later in the day in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Fromley.
Securing America.
After several down years, leaders of the U.S. military telling a recent Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing, recruiting is now on the upswing. General James Mingus is the Vice Chief of Staff for the U.S. Army.
The Army exceeded its goal in FY24 with over 55,000 new soldiers, and we're targeting 61,000 this year and we are currently 72.7% of that goal.
Marines Assistant Commandant General James Mahoney testified his branch is seeing similar results, and the credit goes to the actual recruiters for
making mission without lowering standards, which is something we will never do.
The Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral James Kilby, spoke about the type of individual the military is looking for.
Americans who can innovate, solve hard problems, and dominate in combat.
President Trump said during his address to Congress that the recent recruiting results are among the best ever. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
A couple of NBC Montana stories to share here this morning. Look, interesting reports here from NBC Montana. Let me see. I'm quickly scrolling through my show prep, my stack of stuff here. As you know, I never get organized until about 6:50 in the morning, sometimes not even by then, because, you know, we're just kind of yapping and BSing and having a good time talking amongst old friends here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, getting everything up and rolling, sometimes hearing these news stories for the first time. But there were a couple of stories. First, obviously, Splashdown was success. Wasn't that incredible? Here was the NBC Montana article that caught my eye on Facebook yesterday. Back home, American astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore safely parachuted into the Florida Panhandle after 9 months stranded in space. Wait, they didn't parachute into the Florida Panhandle. They parachuted into the Gulf of America. Now, if they landed on land, I guess you could say they parachuted into the Florida Panhandle. But no, they landed in the Gulf of America, making it even a beautiful splashdown for these two astronauts who, let's be honest, they were left in space. They were abandoned in space by Joe Biden over politics. That's what Elon Musk said. That's what President Trump said. Anyway, I commented on that story. I said, thanks, Trump and Elon and the SpaceX crew. And oddly enough, as wimpy as Facebook typically is, that actually got a lot of reactions. What was funny about some of the reactions to that NBC Montana story is the fact that the left-wing conspiracy theorists are out. So now, I mean, this was remarkable. This was a remarkable American moment. You know, Forget for a moment why the astronauts were left in space, why they got stuck in space. The fact is, you had two American astronauts who were stuck in space. They were only supposed to be there for about a week. They got stuck for like 300 days. So regardless of why they got stuck there, why they got stuck there for longer than they needed to be stuck there, let's put that aside for a moment and just celebrate this remarkable American moment where a private sector company working with NASA has the ability and the know-how to go up there, rescue these people, and bring them back and land safely in the Gulf of America. You notice I just love saying the Gulf of America, so I'm going to throw that one in there as many times as possible here. And remarkable moment, but here's the Democrats and here's the liberal media either ignoring the story or downplaying the story. It's not that big of a deal. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. These guys don't want America to unite around anything. They want to divide us over everything right now. They can't even just say, wow, this was incredible. Great job. Thanks, SpaceX, because, they just so despise Elon Musk because he's not in their political party anymore. But what's funny is, like, on this NBC Montana story, and I think this was the one based out of Missoula, you can see, like, the liberal left-wing conspiracy theorists. They're the black helicopter crowd now, all of a sudden. Now, all of a sudden, they see black helicopters everywhere. There was one commenter who said, wait, SpaceX screwed up here because the astronauts are now in the hospital. They were just in space for, like, that's routine that they would go get medical checks done after they get back from space. But the other thing is, like, I literally just talked to an astronaut yesterday on Montana Talks. Now, these lefty black helicopter crowd folks probably don't listen. Certainly not after November, because they're just still so angry, hissing and moaning, showing up at the Montana Democrats Trump derangement syndrome seminars across the state. But why would they need to go to the hospital after they return? Look, we had this astronaut who was on the SpaceX mission, the Polaris Dawn mission, just, you know, right around the same time these astronauts went up in space. And they conducted the first ever commercial spacewalk. Kid Petit's his name. He's a former Air Force Thunderbird pilot. They trained for their SpaceX Polaris Dawn mission in Bozeman, Montana. And so we had him on the show again yesterday. Now, I won't give you the full recap because some of you heard it live. And if not, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast. I'll have a highlight for you maybe later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But he described how your body basically atrophies, because when you're in space, there's no gravity. And so gravity works your muscles. I mean, just by your very existence on Earth, your muscles are being worked because of gravity and your body having to respond to gravity. Well, in space, that doesn't happen. So your muscles atrophy. I mean, imagine not doing certain physical activity for 300 days and then all of a sudden taking a hike. Well, then now your body is atrophied and you have... And now you go through what feels like a grueling, several minutes long re-entry back to Earth, where even just 4 G's can feel like a gigantic, I'm not going to say it, big sandy farmer, sitting on your chest, right, for several minutes. And so, of course, you're going to, you know, need medical attention, and frankly, they're just going to do it anyway. That's part of the reason why they study what goes on in space, is for medical, research and things like that. But anyway, that was one of the chicken scratch things I had yesterday. Yesterday on my calendar, I was like, hey, talk about these three things. And I kept wondering all morning long, okay, I wrote myself a note. Talk about the GS on reentry. What the heck is the GS on? Oh, then I figured it out. The G's on reentry. That's what we ended up talking about later on in the 9 o'clock hour with an actual astronaut. There's more to this story, though. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are several reactions one can make to the precipitous decline in birth rates in most rich countries, including our own. One is to stand, hands on hips, and decry the fact that people aren't having as many babies anymore. The other is to try to understand why and try to do something about it. The why is perhaps easiest to understand. There's a large economic penalty for women face when they have children. Call it the motherhood tax. Relative to those who have no children, women face a 40 to 50% decline in annual earnings over a 10-year period after the birth of their first child. And women know this. In countries where the motherhood tax is higher, birth rates are lower. The hit on earnings is eased a bit when childbearing starts at an older age, when women have acquired the network, skills, and experience to rise in their professions. But since fertility falls with age, this delays makes reproduction more problematic. That's why one path to improving overall birth rate outcomes relies on technology to extend the fertility window. I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It's hard to underestimate the level of antipathy from some Democrats directed at Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Schumer announced that a government shutdown last week would be worse than voting to break a filibuster on the GOP-sponsored spending plan. The government would have closed had Democrats not voted to help Republicans overcome the filibuster. Senate Republicans couldn't have done that on their own. House Democrats were conducting their annual issues retreat in suburban Washington, D.C., that just before the procedural vote, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and other Democrats Democrats race back to the Capitol to lambaste the Republican spending bill. When asked twice about Schumer's leadership at a press conference, Jeffries immediately pivoted, both times punting, saying, quote, next question. Yours truly confronted Jeffries afterwards.
Mr. Leader, why were you afraid to say anything about Schumer when you were asked?
No, my
question was, why are you afraid to say anything?
Do not characterize my remarks. I'm not afraid about anything.
With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good Wednesday morning. It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordlund. This morning, we're following up on the headline we shared yesterday morning around the expedited rollout of the $10 billion in assistance for farmers under the new Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, or ECAP. USDA teased everyone with the news that the announcement would be coming out, and in fact, it was released yesterday on National Ag Day. An enrollment for the program begins today, March 19th, and farmers can expect payments within just 3 business days once their applications are processed. The aid, part of the American Relief Act, helps offset losses from the 2024 crop year. USDA Deputy Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Brooke Appleton, shared part of the details yesterday in Washington.
Secretary Rollins will be announcing that USDA is expediting up to $10 billion in direct assistance payments through the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program for the 2024 crop year. So what does that mean? That means relief is coming and farmers will have the resources necessary to manage rising expenses and secure financing for next season. President Trump and Secretary Rollins have made it clear. We are cutting through the red tape and getting these payments out the door as quickly as possible. Farmers and ranchers need certainty, and we're making sure they have it so you can focus on what you do best: feeding, clothing, and fueling America.
Commodity producers will receive pre-filled applications based on their 2024 acreage report, but farmers who have not reported can also visit their local FSA office starting today to enroll in person. In the Federal Register listing, USDA lists per acre payment rates by commodity, with wheat priced at $30.69 per acre, barley $21.67, corn $42.91. As for pulse crops, dry peas will be seeing a payment of $16 and some change, lentils $19.30, with small chickpeas priced at $31.45, large chickpeas priced at $24.02, canola priced at $31.83. More disaster relief funding, including $2 billion for livestock producers, is also in the pipeline. Contact your local FSA office for more details. March 20th, Barstar Cattle offers 41 polled and horned Hereford bulls and 30 F1 Baldy replacement heifers during their annual sale at the ranch south of Muscle Shell, Montana. Structure, feet functionality, and phenotype are paramount, combined with big profitability indexes. The benefit of hybrid vigor makes more pounds of pay weight and a more fertile, functional cross. Barstar Hereford bulls, making America's cow herd functional and efficient again. Catalog and videos, along with online bidding through Live Ag for the Barstar Cattle Annual Production Sale, March 20th.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know that the office with the best view isn't a traditional office at all. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Give us a call from your office, wherever that may be. We'd love to chat. Find us at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
A bipartisan bill led by Senators John Thune of South Dakota and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico has reintroduced the Livestock Disaster Assistance Improvement Act to enhance USDA support for livestock producers after adverse weather. The bill aims to improve the accuracy of the U.S. Drought Monitor, which impacts disaster programs. It also clarifies eligibility for grazing permit holders and emergency aid programs and streamlines drought response measures. Thune emphasized the need for consistent, accurate data to ensure effective USDA assistance. I'm Lane Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, there we go. Did he say 0970? That's pretty funny. It's 970, like 970 KBUL, the the flagship here for our show. Anyway, see how easy I get distracted. See what you guys do. See, you call in with your great phone calls, you send in your great messages, and then squirrel, go in a million different directions. Okay, the 10:39 mark. Thanks to our producer, Caden, for snagging the audio from, wow, my cursor was already practically right there. Look at that. Holy cow. That's, I'll tell you what, it's meant to be. It's meant to be. So I need to go back to about the 2-minute mark here possibly as well. Okay, I think I'm in the right spot here. Yeah, okay. So here we are. We're talking with an actual astronaut who was just in space with SpaceX, the Polaris Dawn crew, and they trained for that mission here in Montana. And you guys heard me talk about the G's upon reentry. And so, yeah, it's going to wreak havoc on your body when you're reentering the Earth's atmosphere, especially after being in space without gravity for so long, right? And but yet here's these Missoula liberals, lefty conspiracy theorists. Well, why are these people in the hospital? SpaceX must have screwed up. Give me a break. These people are just nuts. But anyway, the other thing that was pretty interesting, because you've heard Elon Musk say it. You've heard Donald Trump say it. If you haven't, I've got the audio, and I'll probably play it again. They said, look, Joe Biden left these astronauts in space, Sonny and Butch. They were left in space by Joe Biden. But I asked an actual astronaut yesterday. I said, okay. I said, feel free to stiff arm me on this one. I don't want to pull you into the politics of it all. But basically, like, were these astronauts left in space? And so he did a great job of talking science while avoiding the political science. Let me see if I queued this up in the right spot here. But feel free if you want to answer that, or you can pivot to something else.
Well, the second half of that question about anti-Elon sentiment, I can't speak to, but the technical aspects, could SpaceX have, you know, done things to reprioritize when it comes to the mission? And things you got to consider is the flight schedule, the availability of crews and capsules and launch schedules. All of that can be reevaluated and reprioritized to get them home sooner. So I am not privy to what was going on in the office during these conversations when it was decided upon. The final decisions, but from my experiences working with SpaceX and watching the 11,000 amazing professional men and women, some of the brightest people I've ever worked with, they certainly have the capability, capacity, and aptitude to have figured out solutions.
Boy, that timed out perfectly without plan. Without a plan, that timed out perfectly where he said, yes, absolutely, this crew could have gotten the job done. SpaceX could have gotten the job done sooner. Schedules could have been rearranged, et cetera. But it didn't happen. But Donald Trump and Elon Musk made sure it happened this time. But, yeah, anyway, so cool to catch up with Scott Kidd Petit. I mentioned how on this NBC Montana story that I had commented on, you've got these left-wing Missoulians spouting their conspiracy theories. Well, why are these astronauts in the hospital? Why are they getting medical attention? It's as if we've been going to space since before I was born, and it's still remarkable every time, right? But these people act like we'd never been to space before, and like somehow, oh, why are they getting medical attention? Like they've never seen this happen before. Here was a Kidd Petit talking about what it's like, what it was like yesterday for these astronauts to experience reentry into the Earth atmosphere.
Yeah, so your body goes through a pretty intense transition when you get to microgravity space. But the one thing that is fairly predominant is the fluid shift that happens in your body. You know, we're used to gravity pulling on everything, to include our muscles, our ligaments, our tendons, our bone structure, the fluid in our body. But as soon as you get to microgravity, that all shifts around. Your organs are shifting around. And when you're up there for so long, you know, like Butch and Sonny have been, you haven't been able to use all those elements like you typically do on Earth. They have dedicated time to train to you know, make sure their cardiovascular systems and is functioning properly, you know, and stay fit that way. But when you don't use all those muscles, ligaments, and tendons and bone structure, it does atrophy. And as soon as you start the reentry process, any G onset, you know, we noticed it at like 0.2 G, you can start feeling the G forces. And that was only after 5 days. They've been up there for, what is it, like 286 days, over 9.5 months. That sensation is going to be very intense. And, you know, by the time they get down to Earth, it's that whole rehab procedure, they're anticipating, you know, 5-6 weeks, maybe even a couple months. Everyone's subjective as far as how it's going to impact them.
All right. By the way, here is the audio of the official splashdown. Remarkable.
And splashdown. Crew 9 back on Earth.
Splashdown. Good main release.
Copy splashdown. We see main chutes cut. Nick, Alex, Butch, Sunny, on behalf of SpaceX, welcome home.
Welcome home. Remarkable. Yeah, and by the way, I think Breitbart had a great piece about how the astronaut Butch Wilmore, crediting God, praising God for getting him through the past 300 or so days.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, another random start, and then I'm going to play the audio of President Trump. He did a sit-down interview with Laura Ingraham. I believe it aired last night on the Ingraham Angle. I was watching some of the highlights here this morning while preparing for this show. Random start. Headlines like this are a great reminder that the liberal media really does not care about native kids. They care about government bureaucrats. They care about Democrat campaign operatives, which is why they want more government employees and more government employee unions. Now, for our friends in Butte, I'm not bashing unions. I'm targeting the federal government employees unions, and the really bad one here in Montana is the MFPE, the Montana Federation of Public Employees. They don't even support private sector unions. You know, they support the politicians and the policies that shut down private sector union jobs. They're supposed to represent teachers, but they slapped the teachers in the face with a mask mandate, even though the teachers in the largest school district in the state of Montana voted against, in their own union meeting, a mask mandate. Look at this headline. This was in the Billings Gazette. I don't think it was written by a Billings Gazette reporter. It was written by some other liberal from Lee newspapers somewhere else. But look at this headline here. And again, this is a great reminder that the liberal media, you know why they have indigenous news reporters, most of whom I don't even think are Native American. They're just some liberal white kid that probably grew up with a, you know, pretty nice background, pretty, you know, Trustafarian style background, right? You know why they do that? Because they get money. They get grant money to push the left-wing narrative onto Native Americans. The Democrats and the left have pushed Tren de Aragua into Native American communities. They pushed the Mexican drug cartels into Native American communities. Fentanyl, meth. They don't care about it. They just want you to vote for them. Anyway, look at this headline. This headline tells you everything you need to know. This is so symbolic of all of the liberal media headlines here with President Trump back in office. You know, KTVQ, for example, they had a story. Where did I put it here? They had a story about, oh,
what's going to happen with timber prices. Here you go. Trump's tariffs. How lumber prices could impact Billings home builders. You know, I don't remember them doing story after story after story every time these environmental groups and every time these liberal judges here in Montana and every time the Democrats would shut down a timber project. How is this going to affect Billings home builders? But, oh, Donald Trump wants to rebuild America's timber industry, which means not being so reliant on Canadian lumber. And here they are once again with another headline trying to undermine the president of the United States who's trying to rebuild Montana's industrial base. They, I guess they're just happy with us being dependent on another country for our lumber. They, no, it's just they just want to undermine Donald Trump at any step of the way. That's the script that scripts TV stations are being told to follow. But, yeah, here's the headline. Back to this Billings Gazette headline here. I'm going to read it word for word. Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students. Well, let me just pause right there. That's the first half of the headline. Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students. Well, that's awesome. That's great. Donald Trump wants to help Native American kids. That is incredible. That is awesome. Wow. We have a president who not only puts America first, but he puts the first Americans first, Native Americans first. Oh, but of course, there's a but in this headline. Let me read the full headline for you now. Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students, but at what cost? This is no joke. This is a headline in the Billings Gazette, and it probably got copy and pasted into the Montana Standard and Butte and the Ravalli Republic and the Missoulian and the Helena IR. Trump's plan could help Native American kids, but at what cost? Kind of like how his border security plan and the deportations of Tren de Aragua and the deportations of Mexican drug cartels also is a plan that helps Native American kids. But then they'll say, but at what cost? Good night. Good night. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, at what cost? What's the cost? What's the cost that the liberal media is concerned about? Well, this could really help Native American kids, but what would the cost be? You know what the cost would be? Less left-wing teachers union activists pushing the Democrat Party agenda and campaigning for Democrats. They're afraid that if Native American kids get better opportunities in education, that they won't be reliant on the Democrat Party. And that the Democrat Party might be weakened if somehow Native American kids have more educational opportunities. That's how twisted the liberal media is. Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students. But at what cost? But at what cost? And look, it's not just Native American kids. There are plans out there that could help your kids. There are things they're talking about in the state legislature right now that Democrats and some squishy Republicans have been opposing. These plans could help Butte kids. These plans could help Billings kids. These plans could help Lame Deer kids. These plans could help everybody's kids. But at what cost? Do people not see this? Do they not see what is happening? I mean, are we the only ones, or are people like you and me, are we the only ones who read this stuff? And it's like, do you guys realize what you just said here? Do you realize what you just said with your headline here? All right, back to President Donald J. Trump. Here he was. This was, I think, on Laura Ingraham's program last night. The Trump War Room shared this highlight via X. Here's President Trump saying that, yes, Joe Biden left our astronauts stranded in space.
When I came in office, I said, Elon, we got to get them out. You have a rocket ship handy? How many people have a rocket? And Biden left them up. He abandoned them. You know, we could have done this sooner, but Biden didn't want to because he was embarrassed by what happened. So they were up there. They were supposed to be there for a few days. They were there for many months. And now they're coming back. But think of it. Elon's able to do that with his genius, and you have people that hate it. And I really believe these are people that hate our country. It's a big problem. But, you know, there aren't so many of them. There are many more that love our country. And they love our country now more than they have maybe ever in their lives. There's never been a movement like MAGA, like America First, call it whatever you want to call it. This is the greatest movement in the history of politics.
He's right. They hate America. They hate seeing the success. They hate it because they want to divide this country. They want to transform it into something else. That's why they're always telling you how racist a country it is. And frankly, you know, back to this Billings Gazette headline, Trump's voucher plan could help embattled Native American students, but at what cost? I want to sound off on the Montana legislature once again. I'm seeing all these, indigenous bills. Pandering. These Democrats in Helena, they're not trying to help the economies and the sovereignty of our reservation communities of Native Americans. They're pandering. And why do they want Indigenous Persons Day? Because they want to divide Americans. They want us fighting each other. They want us, you know, they want you to think that America doesn't like you, that America's a racist country. And it's just like, you know what? Cut our property taxes, pass judicial reform, provide better opportunities for kids, Native American kids, Butte kids, Billings kids, all the kids, and then wrap it up and get the hell out of there. There's a bunch of other things to get done too, but you get the freaking point here. Stop the freaking pandering and get the job done. By the way, I saw Western Native Voice, which is this George Soros-funded Democrat front group, was having meetings downstairs. I wonder who's paying for all those meetings. I wonder if taxpayer funds are getting funneled to those Democrat Party front groups at all or not either. I'm telling you what, we could use a Doge of Montana to try to explain. We've already had a similar Doge effort with the governor's red tape release initiative, but you know, you got the Montana Human Rights Network, which is a left-wing hate group that now changed their name to something else. Apparently, they were getting taxpayer funds, so let's doge that, too, while we're at it. All right, the legislative update coming up right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The SpaceX recovery ship will be stationed nearby to haul this spacecraft on board so the crew can be helped out of the Crew Dragon's cabin onto stretchers for initial medical checks. Talking to people that know a lot more about this than I do, their understanding is that these two astronauts that had only, remember, their planned mission was for 8 days, and they will have a tough time adjusting to the gravity that we all experience here on Earth. It will be quite an adjustment, not an easy adjustment, because that's not what they trained for. And so our hope and our prayer today is that by the end of this show, that they land safely and can be reunited with their families sooner rather than later.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Only two things in life are certain, death and taxes. Well, now there's a third certainty. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, you could be saving a fortune every single month if you switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company called Pure Talk. Now, that's right, Pure Talk, my sponsor, is cutting the fat from the wireless industry. For just $25 a month, you can get unlimited talk and text, 5 gigs of data on America's most dependable 5G network, and the average family of four saving over $1,000 a year when they switch to Pure Talk. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And with Pure Talk, you have U.S. customer service representatives. They'll make the switch simple, fast, and free and easy. To do it, dial #250, say the keyword save now to make the switch. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. #250, keyword save now, and start saving today. Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today, high temperatures will range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in the Billings area. for tonight. Partly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the 20s. And then on Thursday, more cloud cover with some snow showers mixed with rain in Bozeman, with a few rain showers later in the day in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
Buyer's remorse. We've all had it. Some of us more than once. My most memorable was the time as a teenager when I bought my first vehicle, a well-used 1972 Ford F-150. I should have focused more on the condition of the engine and less on how well the stereo sounded. Oh well, we all make mistakes. Hopefully we learn from them. An unreliable vehicle is one thing, but what happens when that mistake is life-changing, resulting in medical issues that will plague us for the rest of our lives? That's the focus of Senate Bill 218, better known as the Detransitioners Bill of Rights. It's already passed the Montana Senate and is scheduled for a hearing in the House Judiciary Committee this Friday. Many of the issues that we deal with in the Judiciary Committee are highly charged, emotional, and cutting edge. In some cases, the policy far outpaces the science, and it takes a while for the science to catch up. That's the case with the whole transgender agenda. We began dealing with it about 20 years ago, but gender dysphoria has been around for millennia. It's only recently that social activists in the medical community have tried to normalize it. For centuries, it was limited in scope to a minuscule group of individuals who were genuinely gender dysphoric. Now, with DEI and woke policies in public schools, it's become a social contagion, especially within groups of middle school girls. In some cases, it's become an excuse for dealing with the uncomfortable physical changes of puberty. In other cases, it's simply the cool thing to do. Regardless of the motivation, increasing numbers of early teens are questioning their gender, and in some cases, are undergoing irreversible medical procedures with or without their parents' knowledge. In some schools, there's an entire network in place from teachers and counselors down to students themselves looking for students who may be questioning their gender identity in even the slightest way. More often than not, these kids are fast-tracked into transitioning by school officials, unscrupulous medical providers, and even their own parents who have been told that their child will likely commit suicide if they don't go along with the program. Depending on their age, they're given puberty blockers to arrest development, cross-sex hormones to make them look like the opposite sex, and finally, irreversible surgeries such as double mastectomies on girls as young as 15 years of age. This flies in the face of historic medical norms that say that a patient must be able to understand a contemplated procedure and give informed consent. A 15-year-old is simply not capable of understanding the long-term consequences of a double mastectomy. This, coupled with the huge numbers of those undergoing these procedures as a result of the current social contagion, has resulted in a large group of patients who now regret their decisions. Medical research is now catching up with the public policy, and entire countries are banning these procedures on minors. For far too long, we've focused on those demanding the normalization of transgenderism. Now, we're shifting focus to those who say they were duped by adults with an agenda. They regret the mutilation done to their young bodies, and they're demanding recourse. Enter the Detransitioners Bill of Rights, which creates a legal private right of action for injuries caused by those irreversible medical procedures. It also provides for a 25-year statute of limitations so that victims can sue the doctors that did this to them. Judging by the number of victims and doctors who testified in favor of the bill during its first hearing, it appears that the victims are finally finding their voice, and gender transition procedures on minors may finally and thankfully come to an end. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofsky reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, let's see. What should we talk about coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show? Why don't you tell us? We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. We'll get to the calls and more after the Fox News update. Or you can send us a quick message on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see. What else? Oh, man, Chuck Schumer went on The View, and he just gave Republicans a great campaign commercial for the 2026 midterm elections. We'll have that audio and much more.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are several reactions one can make to the precipitous decline in birth rates in most rich countries, including our own. One is to stand, hands on hips, and decry the fact that people aren't having as many babies anymore. The other is to try to understand why and try to do something about it. The why is perhaps easiest to understand. There's a large economic penalty for what women face when they have children. Call it the motherhood tax. Relative to those who have no children, women face a 40 to 50% decline in annual earnings over a 10-year period after the birth of their first child. And women know this. In countries where the motherhood tax is higher, birth rates are lower. The hit on earnings is eased a bit when childbearing starts at an older age, when women have acquired the network, skills, and experience to rise in their professions. But since fertility falls with age, this delays makes reproduction more problematic. That's why one path to improving overall birth rate outcomes relies on technology to extend the fertility window. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.